We answered to the call, to the letter, and here we are.
Could you picture a grown man writing a list to Santa?
Wait, you don't do that anymore?
Like, what would it be like? Dear Santa, I need hemorrhoid cream. Like,
dude, it's
do you know what was on my Christmas list?
Hemorrhoid cream.
Look, I haven't had any hemorrhoids yet, but we posted a clip that I was like, you know, dads stint, or you know, guys spend way more time on the toilet just because they're trying to get away, trying to escape. And some guy in the comments like, hey man, trust me, I thought that was great too until I started getting hemorrhoids. And now I'm like afraid. I'm like, should I stand up every 4 minutes? Or something like that?
Exactly. Holy cow.
Tommy, you know what's on my Christmas list for today, for the 53rd episode?
Yeah, let me guess. We're bringing in a guest.
You intercepted my letter to Santa.
Yeah, I stole it. You guys, we have a guest, and he's not new to the podcast. He is a returnee.
Some would call him an OG.
Yeah, I think he's an OG. I think he has a perfect dad resume. He now, last time he was on this podcast, I think he only had 2 kids. Now he has 3.
Whoa.
Yeah.
3? Okay, now we're spoiling it.
We're just giving it away.
But returning from the first ever Dads Who Try podcast. Some of you who are listening, you didn't know this, but we had 3 of us on the first episode.
Yeah, the very first episode we had Roman Boschko. Let's go, Roman. You are back.
I'm clapping,
baby.
For myself. I'm clapping for myself. Yeah, first ever.
Yeah.
Look, okay, I've been saving this, you know. I want to talk about that for a second. Because check it. Oh, look, no. Ever since that podcast, that very first podcast, yeah. Have you guys not grown?
Oh my gosh.
So ever since you guys had me on as a guest, the podcast has been taking off, baby.
It is. Your royalty check is in the mail.
I'm just waiting.
It's going to be about 40 cents.
For that big
cents.
Spotify Joe Rogan deal for you guys. And give me, just cut me a tithe. Come on.
Wait, did you see his contract is up?
Is it?
This year. And he's it's like he can extend it. Or renegotiate. It's like an NBA player, you know?
Dang.
He's going to make the biggest contract.
But basically,
whatever
he chooses to do is going to like dictate the podcast market.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's really going to affect us.
Yeah, for sure. What?
What are we going to do?
I'm telling you, Rogan.
I wonder how much more the growth is going to be after this episode. Because, you know, after the first time I was on, the growth was steady.
Significant.
Yeah.
And significant.
I mean, bro, when we were recording, I'm pretty sure that our following was at 29.
Yeah.
And our following on social media was probably like at 53. As of today, you guys, between all of our channels, we're close to, I think we're right at around 2 million
people.
3
trillion people.
Yeah, 3 billion.
$1 million.
If we were to give credit to anybody,
it's you guys.
It's you.
And Roman.
And Roman.
Nah.
Yeah, it's you guys in Rome.
It was fun, though.
Yeah.
We're, like, scrambling to plug everything in.
Yeah.
Get ready to go. We're all getting ready to go to work, but we're like, all right, let's go.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot. We were in such a rush.
Yeah.
It feels weird. That was a year ago. It just flies by.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You guys are literally, like, on a next level trajectory with this podcast. It's amazing.
When you were on, we were kind of like, I don't know if we had, like, I think I only had Levi.
Yeah, you didn't have Ollie yet.
Ollie yet.
No.
And you were only a dad of 2.
Dad of 2.
And now you're a dad of 3.
3.
What? Tell me about how it feels like now having 3 kids.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
we
need some advice.
Okay. Right?
Can I add this too?
Yeah.
We had someone in the comments literally yesterday in our DM say, hey, is there any way you could add some girl dad tips?
Oh my god!
And I was like, actually, this is perfect.
We don't really ever offer any because we don't.
Yeah, because
all I have is girls.
Yeah,
yeah, 3 girls over there.
3 girls. Yeah, I feel like when you have a lot of people that go from 1 kid to 2.
Yeah.
Well, at least right now at our age, right? And
yeah.
So I remember when they ask, like, "Oh, how is it?" I'm like, to me, I think 1 to 2 is a lot harder. 2 to 3 is like you're already in chaos. You're already like. You know, like when you have one, like one of you can go take a nap or one of you can go rest or whatever, or go out. But it's like 2, it's like, okay, you could still do it. 3, it's just you're outnumbered completely. But the big jump, I think, is 1 to 2. But
yeah, that's what
I
feel
girls.
Like everyone says the big jump is 1 to 2. People keep on being like, you guys should have a 3rd. It's easy. And I'm like, easy?
Yeah.
I think
I don't know about easy.
I legit almost like I lost my youth. going into a second child. I just stayed up too late feeding this kid, and now I'm an old person who can't go to bed.
Testosterone levels are low.
Oh, yeah, low T.
Low T.
Yeah, exactly. Holy cow, stop.
Wait, dude, has Tommy told you about this?
No.
A while back, we got, you know, we're just taking any ad, you know, whatever, you know, just trying to turn Dads Who Try into a way we can resource our family. And this testosterone company reached out to us.
Hone?
Called Low T. And we did a whole ad on low testosterone. And Tommy's like, well, you know, it can, low testosterone can affect your sex drive. And I'm like, Tommy, you struggle with that? Do you still?
Do you still struggle with that?
Man, that ad was really for you, I thought. I thought that you told me that's why we took it.
Looks. Yeah, weren't you reading it in your Nate voice?
Tommy, listen, okay. 69% of men struggle with low testosterone. Like, it's been turned into an ad.
Holy cow.
Didn't you, like, grow out your goatee for that, Reed, so you can channel your Nate?
Yeah, I tried. It didn't work, obviously.
Nice try. Have you guys ever experimented... You have a wonderful face with
it's terrible.
The hair, it goes all the way up to your eyes. It's actually really
impressive. I literally have to like shave my upper cheek.
Yeah, I wish I had that
my
problem.
Face cheek.
You guys, listen, you guys are full grown men. I'm still a child here. I have to.
No, you see a good 5 o'clock shadow going
like,
on here.
Yeah.
When no shave November comes around, I start in like July. I'm gonna catch up to my friends this year, so I'm gonna start. And I still only get like this dirty stash, and it just looks crazy. So let's not talk about it anymore.
I love it. Speaking of River, he's the other day. He was like, "Do I have any hair on my armpits?" I'm like, "Bro, you're 7."
He wants to grow up so fast, huh?
Yeah, but like he wants to grow up so fast about certain things, and he's still like, obviously he's 7 years old. Like this morning, he's like, you know, "Dad, help me put my shoes on." I'm like, "Bro,
you're 7.
Yeah, you're 7. Put your own shoes on." Yesterday, you were asking if you have armpit hair because you thought you were a grown up, and today you need help putting your shoes on.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I tell you what, like, it's so funny how like when kids are young, they want to get old, and then when we get old, we're like, "No, we want to be young again."
Yes,
I'm like, "What is that?"
I'll never forget like when I forget who it was, but like, "Oh man, I wish I was your age." Like. You got no stress. You're hanging out. I think I was like 8 years old, and I was like, "What are you talking about? You could drive, man.
Yeah, you can drive."
And then now I'm like, "Oh man, just to have no stress, hang out, freaking run around in your underwear in your house, watch cartoons all day,
bro." Like when I was I remember when I first got my license, man, I would like offer to drive all the time because I just was obsessed with driving, like just having a car and be able to drive. And then I remember, like, when I started having to buy gas and stuff, I'm like, "Wow, you guys, this is starting to get expensive." And this was, like, years and years and years ago. Now I'm like, I don't want to drive at all. I'm like, I don't want to drive. I don't want to carpool. I don't want to do anything. And so I'm like, no, I don't want to be older. I want to be young again.
I remember, like, thinking at 18 was like the biggest milestone. I'm like, I get to gamble, I get to smoke cigarettes, I get to take minors to go to rated R movies. Like, why is that a big deal?
Go to the club.
Yeah.
There's an 18 plus club.
Yeah, the 18 plus club in Washington.
Where they serve you freaking juice.
Yeah. Shirley Temples. Did you have an 18 plus club?
They're like, "Hey, all the 18 year olds are coming. We need to serve them a bunch of sugar. Let's put syrup and soda together. Great Shirley Temples."
Yeah. In Michigan, we had a place called the Underground. And, I kid you not, I can remember it now. You would walk down to this like hallway, and then it kind of led to like a lower level, and then it felt like a scene out of that Matrix where everything was like black and green, like, and it was like, and it's like a bunch of kids just running around. Like, yeah.
Do that again?
One more
that
time. Beatbox? It was like what?
Yeah. So, was it a good time? I can't remember. You guys, I was probably just bouncing off the walls off sugar.
Yeah, well,
it was like the scene of Blade, the first scene of Blade. Oh, that's how mine was in my head. Yeah. In reality, it's like,
when did Blade come out? What year did Blade the movie come out? I'm asking Siri. 1998. I was 8 years old when I watched Blade walk into that rave and it starts raining blood.
Yeah.
How did my parents let me watch that?
That is the craziest scene. Like, it's an insane scene.
Dude, I remember being like, oh, they're dancing. Oh, my God. Like, being like an 8-year-old, like, oh, this is crazy.
I remember thinking it was crazy, but also a little bit exciting at the same time. Like, whoa, that's gross.
Yeah, dude, I was so into cool. it.
Speaking of 18, on the way here, I bought scratch tickets. Why? Oh. I don't know.
Ooh.
But, you know,
we're going to have you guys,
we might
listen.
Get lucky on the pod.
Yeah,
I'm about to do something crazy.
Yeah, we should scratch these while we're actually on the pod, and we can kind of just talk and scratch at the same time. All right, like that.
Here. Let me see if I just got something to scratch.
Curveball.
Wow, this is our first
improv.
Time. Yeah, this is great. I
don't even buy it. I had no idea
I like fresh. I like new.
You're the first podcast guest that's brought us a gift.
Yeah, dude.
Holy cow.
Let's see if these work.
Ooh, with the poker chips?
We're using a poker chip, you guys.
Yeah. But, Rome, now that you have three kids, three girls, what is that? How does life look like? I'm pretty sure it's not always easy.
Right? I just want to know what it sounds like to the people when I'm scratching mine.
Let's see here.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
You guys
come on, Tommy. You're the last.
California lottery is a hoax. Don't buy the tickets.
Every year, my mom puts in our stocking scratch tickets.
Yeah, that's what made me want to get it. I was like, I know people do this. You know, Americans.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
What'd you get?
Today.
The winning numbers are up top.
Yeah, we're
yeah,
losers.
Tommy didn't. Tommy's
all around.
Wow.
You know what? That person after me that bought the ticket?
Probably a winner.
Yeah.
Probably a winner. There was like four homeless dudes right in front of me that were like buying tickets. That's what made me. I was like, ooh, maybe I'll buy it. I'm inspired.
Wait, I watched this guy on TikTok.
Yeah.
I found him recently and he goes to casinos and he sits and he watches people do slots. And then if they don't win, when they get up, he goes to the slot.
And that's when you win.
Live on TikTok, he's pulled like $150,000 at a time. Like just, that's his strategy. Just goes in.
Just be a creeper.
Every day, just watches. Yeah, literally.
Holy cow.
That's actually all these really grandmas smart. Like tripping out and this grown strong man's behind me just watching me.
I gotta go, Shirley.
Shirley.
This man is scaring me. I gotta know why people wear visors in the casino when they're inside.
Are there people that wear visors?
Oh, yeah. The women, they wear visors, got a bucket of pennies or quarters.
It's just the vibe. It's just it's fashion, man.
What's the biggest amount of money that you've ever won?
$350.
On what?
A scratch.
On scratch?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's pretty epic, actually.
We have a friend who won $350,000.
What?
At a casino?
Adam Clauso.
What?
You didn't hear about this?
No. Recently?
A couple of years ago. Maybe
no,
two or three
I
years
had
ago.
No idea. That's amazing.
He quit his job.
Dude, that money will go so fast. Do not quit your job.
What's the casino right there?
Muckleshoot. Or?
No. Maybe it is. It's green in Tacoma.
Oh, the Emerald Queen.
Emerald Queen's casino.
Yes.
He won $350,000 on the slot.
Wow, that's amazing.
The guy's picture in the paper and stuff.
Holy cow. So if you want to win $350,000, go quit your job, man.
Don't quit your job,
no,
man.
No, kidding you guys. Don't do not quit
your
job.
Because last I saw on LinkedIn, he has a job, so he went back.
Yeah.
He learned real quick.
Dang.
Nice.
Tax man be taking that.
Oh, Uncle Sam. Goodbye.
Bro, $350,000 is a lot of money, but also at the same time, that's like...
Yo, in LA?
That'll go so
yeah,
fast.
By the way, they say that if you're not making $200,000 a year in LA, you're goner. You're poor.
You're in the poverty level.
No, actually,
I'm serious.
For Rivers School District, or like his area, you get financial aid if your income is less than $200,000 a year.
Insane.
Yeah, sign me up.
Welcome to the Poverty Podcast.
Okay, wait, Roman, break down what are the ages of your girls? And which one is the most challenging and why right now?
We have an 11-month-old, so that's the third. Yep. And then she's going to be 3 in April, so whatever that is, 2.5, 2¾, whatever. Yeah. People count months, I don't. I'm like, oh, 2 years old.
47 months.
58 weeks later. I think the SpongeBob little meme. Yeah. But and then almost 6-year-old in January, yeah. So It's good. I think the most difficult is the middle child because she is number one, she's very strong willed, like, but very emotional and compassionate at the same time. It's very like, it's a weird, like when she wants something. Yeah, but like, because our firstborn Mila, she's very like, she's super smart, like super independent. Yeah. Noah is very dependent on, basically affects everyone around her. Yeah. Mila can go and be by herself for a long time. But Noah's like, she's the party. She's like dancing. Anytime she'll walk up to anybody, she'll be like, "Hi, I'm Noah," including me. She'll walk up to me. "Hi, I'm Noah." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm your dad. I know." But she's the difficult one because she's at the age where obviously she has her own will, speaks and talks. But like sometimes when I'm explaining something to her, she completely does not understand. I'm like, "You're in the bath. Do not drink the bubble bath soap. Like, it'll hurt your tummy." And she just looks at me and just, I'm like, so I feel like Mila understands, like, so if she's doing something she shouldn't be doing or whatever, I could talk to her, you can reason with her. Noah's just like, I don't know if it's her as a kid, because I was like trying to remember Mila at 2.5.
Yeah,
but I'm like, she just does not like reason. It's hard to reason with her about anything.
I mean, Grayson just turned 4, and I feel like he's just now exiting the stage where his communication skills outweigh his comprehension skills.
Yeah.
Like now they're starting to like match, but he's still crazy as hell. But like, you're still like, dude, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yeah, it's so interesting that you're talking about Noah, because I feel like you're describing my kids right now. Like my Levi is starting to really, he's always been independent. He's way more independent now. Like you could leave him for a couple hours. Like he'll play.
You
on
leave
home.
Your kid you for a couple that? Hours.
You guys go to groceries and stuff. You just leave him.
Are you the guy that leaves him in the car and then like turns on the AC?
No, I would not. I'm joking. But I would say this. I've noticed that he just has more independent play by himself. He can just do that. Ollie is so hands on. It's unbelievable. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of what you're saying with Noah. Like you tell her not to do something, she'll do it. He does the same stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, do not like go in the kitchen and grab this thing, and he'll take the pot, and I go, Ollie, and he'll just go, bah, wham, yep, wham. Yep, yep. And I'm like, dude, what don't you understand what dad just said?
Yeah, like he knows what the words no mean.
And
but
he
like,
looks in your eyes.
Or don't
like,
do that, but like doesn't have any connection to your actual limbs and like stopping yourself from doing that.
They say like between the ages, like obviously it's different for certain kids' developments, and girls are go sooner than boys to the stage. But like between 18 months and like 36 months, so like I don't know, however many years, 3 years, up to 3 years, they're pushing the boundaries of how strong you are. So they're trying to figure out, you know, who the authority is in the house.
Yeah.
So they push all of your boundaries as a form of development. So like you say no to the pan and he's like, let's push the boundaries.
Let's go.
I feel like all the three of us. Wait, are you're firstborn?
Yeah.
I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest. Yeah. I'm the youngest.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're all kind of, except for Tommy, I don't know, but I feel like we just kind of pushed.
Oh, yeah. What?
I
got away with a lot of things. So many things.
Yeah. But I feel like, Tommy, you kind of feel that, have that same vibe.
With pushing the boundaries?
Yeah. Just like, kind of like, no, because you grew up. And you kind of had to keep your siblings.
Yeah, I had to keep everything in order. So
you're the mature one out of the group.
Like I know
you
I
are was, a good boy, Tommy. You are like, a good boy. No, Nate is a bad boy.
You're on the naughty
boy.
List.
You're a bad boy. You are my boy.
Santa's not visiting me this year. Holy crap!
I don't remember what that joke was. You are my boy.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, oh, this is my boy. You just say it in a regular voice, it's pretty weird.
Yeah.
You are my boy.
It's so creepy. Hey, what's up, my boy?
Hey, my boy.
Hey, my boy.
Hey, my boy.
Yeah. I would ADD. Say, I still like to have fun. Like, I think that side of like energy of
you're a fun guy.
I like to think I'm a fun guy, but I do get like, I don't like to push the boundaries too much. Like the perfect example, Nate, this is when we're in the car together. Like you guys, this is Like, Nate,
actually, this
laughing.
Is a great dynamic of, yes. of a youngest and an old.
Yes. In the car, we're driving. There could be three or four of us. And Nate will start, like, rolling down the windows. And he'll just, you know, nonchalant, just yell something out the window. Right?
Yes.
And I'm like looking for the controller on the car where I can roll up his window and lock it. Because I'm like, we're not doing that right now. And it stresses me out because I don't know what he's capable of.
Dude, you know? And I'm trying to see how far we can push Nate to see what he's actually capable of.
That's a great picture.
If I see someone at a bus stop and they're sitting there, they're alone, you would think that me saying out the window, hey, I hope you have a great ride.
No, you're not
would brighten
saying
their
that,
day.
Bro. No. You're saying something ridiculous. What are you saying?
I'm saying have a great day.
You're driving by and trying to scare him.
Yeah, exactly.
Nate, I feel like, is the only adult that I know today that will, like, try to scare the crap out of you.
Oh, just for 100%. Fun.
All the time.
Something about it. It fulfills me.
It's hilarious to watch.
Poor Natalie,
my neighbor.
It's
hilarious to watch.
Yeah. I scare her every day. She's doing her dishes in the window. Hey, Natalie!
She breaks a dish every day.
It's such a cheap, easy laugh, though. Like, if you scare someone, it's a laugh right away. It's like...
Okay, so Grayson, he started to scare people.
Yeah.
Like, scare us in the house. And he does it good. Like, he'll hide like, hey, Dad! And I'm like, like this little four-year-old. Okay, I want to know, from your kids, what's one trait or characteristic you've seen your kids pick up from you that you didn't, like, purposely transfer to them, you know? Like, I want my kids to, you know, take my resolve, and I want my kids to take my wife's kindness and, you know, all that stuff. But then they just do things that I'm like, I didn't mean for that.
My attitude. My anger.
When they say things like, well, Dad, that's what you said. I'm like,
Sometimes when I'm, like, telling, one of my kids to, like, talk nice or whatever, blah, 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 in my head, I'm like, I just got in an argument with my wife an hour ago. I was not nice. Or, like, I'm, like, yelling at them, and I'm like, don't yell at Dad. I'm like, that doesn't work. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like both my kids are pretty, like, they feel really fun. And I don't know if that's something that they've just picked up on their own because they're just wild kids in general, but I would like to think that they've, you know, it feels like when I'm home, dude, like, I've just noticed that there are things that I don't want to do. Like, in the beginning, I was really... Like, I carried a lot of my stuff home.
Yeah.
And so you could
like
kind
of... stress, you're saying.
Yeah. And so I think they would feel that. Dude, the other day, it was so crazy. It was the first time I've ever seen LJ do this. I'm on my phone after work, and I'm kind of, like, doing something. And he was wanting to play where... So once I get home, if I'm feeling up for it, I'll run around the house like crazy. Like, actually run around the house with them and have them chase me.
Right.
It's their favorite thing to do. And then his little brother would try to, like, you know, come along too. Well, the other day I got home and he was wanting to do that. And I was kind of like just in my own little world and I was on my phone and dude, he actually grabbed my phone and like put it like under the couch.
Oh yeah.
It was like, it was crazy. Like when he did that, I was like, this is the first time he's ever done that.
Wow.
And so I go, oh my God. Like he actually understands this. So dude, since then, it was just such a crazy awakening for me, I swear. And so I was like, all right. This is what we're going to do. I dropped my phone. I'm like, we're hanging all night long, bro. I'm not having you realize that this is like my life.
Yeah.
That's not it.
100%. Yeah. You realize that your kids pick up on so many things that you don't even realize you're doing. Your mannerisms, the way you talk, like just the idea of intentional parenting is like, I think for me growing up, like, I don't know if my mom was intentional. Like she parented as it just happened.
Yeah.
And... you know, I remember, you know, all smoking and things like that, that like, I'm so intentional. So I'm like a chronic smoker or anything, but like, I'm just being intentional coming home going like, well, as soon as I get home, the very first thing that they're paying attention to is me. Like they can't wait for me to get home.
Yeah.
And when I get home and I'm on something or, you know, I have a bad attitude or something like that, that's like, that's the first example that they see of me. And that's probably going to be the first thing that they replicate for me as well.
Right.
Yeah, that's hard. That's hard to like leave whatever you're going through. If you wake up with anxiety or stress, or you come home with that, it's like to not have that in front of your kids and be present because they're in blissful mode most of the time until they don't get what they want.
Yeah.
So for them to be, I don't even think it registers. But yeah, it's more for us to be like, okay, if I'm on my phone stressing about work or whatever, like, you know, I need to remove that. I need to have that control and remove it.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I forgot who we were talking to, but they were like my boys are so messy. Like, you know, they just love to make big messes and they're climbing in trees and stuff. For girls, does it feel like are they tidy? Like, I like, it's like such like a foreign world for me. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I, oh, man.
Do they fight? Do they wrestle? Like,
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is your wife tidy? Is your wife tidy?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sorry, you're asking me that. That's what you're saying.
No. I feel like every man, when they get married, not tidy. Sorry, not tidy, but like,
she's super clean.
Just
Roman.
Even the, just think about when you get married and you share the bathroom with your wife, we have a shaver for our facial hair, a toothbrush, deodorant.
Oh, that's it.
Women have
maybe some hair products,
a suitcase of stuff. So it's like, that's the difference. Yeah. Like, sorry, that's what I meant by tidy.
Yeah, like, that's a good point.
There's just a lot more. Yes. So, like, yeah, I think the girls, I hope they one day will become. Actually, Mila's been like doing dishes, and she's been actually really good at like helping just in general. Like, I'll change a diaper and be like, can you throw this away? And she'll like run and go do it. Sometimes she won't want to, but like, very helpful. And even Noah, like, actually I'm surprised how Noah is very like what is it called, like, not maternal, because that's weird, but like, she's
nurturing.
Yeah, like nurturing. She loves her baby. She'll hold them and she'll walk up to her baby sister Leo and be like, oh, Leo, you're so cute. Leona June, she always says that.
Yeah.
Hi, Leona June, good morning, Leona June. She's like, stop. The most nurturing, compassionate. And that's where I do think, and even going back to like going to 2 to 3, Leo is not the hard part. She's a baby. It's easy. It's right. More like Noah that's right now in the
so
tougher
much
stage.
Yeah.
But like, if anything, they also help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what like Peter, one of our friends that have 5 kids, he said, like, the older ones start to raise the younger ones, kind of thing. Yeah. And I've seen that a lot. But yeah, I wish they were tidy. I try.
Yeah.
to get them to be tidy.
We posted like a questionnaire or something on Instagram that I was like, what are your hacks or tips for keeping a house clean with kids? And there was like dozens of people who like wrote in. The vast majority was like, burn your house down.
While they're young,
it's not possible. Yeah. They're like, you know, just if you want, every night when they go to bed, reset, and then at 6 a.m.
get ready for the tornado.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
we literally cleaned the other day because we had Erica's family over to our house yesterday for her dad's birthday, but we cleaned Saturday, and I'm like, let's leave the house. Let's go to the Malibu.
Yeah.
Let's go to the park. Let's drive away for a couple hours, because this thing, I want this to be clean for tomorrow so we don't have to clean up. And lo and behold, at night, still had to pick up books, still had to pick up. Like, Noah's at the age too where she'll bring everything out with her. Yeah. Whatever she does, she'll bring a little plastic guitar. She has a little Target shopping cart. She has her babies.
The Target brand ones?
Yes.
They're so cool.
So cool. It's like the best gift. Because at the end of the day, when you're tidying up the room, you just throw everything in that cart and wheel it into the playroom. That's dead serious, a trick. But
we have a full size one.
Yeah, I throw my kids in there. Good night. You can sleep with all your toys.
How does the rooming situation go? Do the girls share a room?
Yeah, we have a 3-bedroom.
Yep.
One of them's ours.
Yep.
We did have a playroom, and then we changed it to Leo's bed now.
Yeah,
but it has a TV in there too. We swapped rooms, so it was our old room, has a TV in there, so like during the day or the evening when people are over, they can like watch a movie in there. Because obviously the crib is just in the corner. And then the girls share a room,
Mila
and my goal honestly was like, why not like get a bunk bed and get another bed when Leo gets older? They could keep sharing a room. Like,
yeah
I feel like they're all girls, and then I think one day when Mila will get old enough, she'll want her own room. That's the thing.
But like, Mila and Noah are sharing a room.
Yeah, they're sharing a room. Yeah.
How is that transition right now? We're thinking about putting the two boys into a room right now, and like, so long story short, Ollie got really sick this time last year, and he had RSV for like a whole month. And so we put him in our bed, and since then he hasn't like really like left the bed, unfortunately. And at first it was fine because he was like cuddly, and then now he's like,
it's his bed.
It's his bed. He's like, we woke up one The other morning.
You're out sleeping on the nightstand.
I'm not kidding, bro. This kid's like head was at the end of the bed, and somehow he got down there, and so he's just a crazy sleeper, and so now we're trying to figure out how to like transition him into that bedroom. How did that work for you?
Yeah, that was. I mean, that's still tough right now for us, but like, it was tough because there was a trip we did. Back to seeing my parents in Washington, that kind of like ruined everything because we were like, we had to get Noah out of her crib converted to like a bed.
Yeah.
And then we had to get that crib, we didn't want to buy a new one, to the other room so Leo can sleep in it and me and Noah gets a big bed. So we had to quickly do it before this trip and we transitioned. So it was more of like, it was way longer every night in terms of like, putting them to bed.
Yeah.
But, you know, reading more books, sitting there with them. And then we went to Washington and it completely ruined everything. And then we come back and it was like, yeah, like your son got sick. And then it kind of ruined the flow of what you were trying to do.
Yeah, we moved. Like our boys slept in fine without us. We moved here and now they want to be in our bed every night.
Yeah. It's crazy. But they, so Noah's still like Mila, again, she's like a rule follower. Like, very much, like, responsible. So she goes to sleep. Sometimes she'll get out. But anyways, for her, obviously, she's 5 and a half, almost six, or almost six. So she's not a problem. But Noah just constantly gets out of bed. Just constantly. But you have to just walk him back, lay him down. All right, good night. And then Erica. But I think it happens. Like, so when we went to that Washington trip, she was off her binky. There was a regression to where, like, we made the mistake of, like, all right, here's your binky. She got back on. So now we're back finally. Like, it was in the summer that we went. So now, like, 6 months later, basically, she's back to, like, no binky. She got obsessed with milk. I heard, you know.
Dude, obsessed.
Grace, obsessed. So, like, finally now, like, she is not drinking any milk. But it just took, like, constant, like, all right, dude, this is this is not a battle. This is a war. There's going to be multiple battles every single night.
But we're going to win the most.
But, like, you just got to. You just got to commit to it and just like stick it out.
That's really good.
And like, specifically Noah still gets out of bed and we like, but finally like, so then Erica started sitting with her and like rubbing her back. And then she got used to that. And I'm like, I'm more of the cold one. Like, let's just, you know,
close the door.
Yeah. Close the door, whatever we got to do to make it happen.
Yeah.
Erica's obviously the more patient one. So I think we kind of have a good balance of both of us.
Yeah.
You know, and then when Erica gets tired, because I put Leo down to bed every night and then she puts the two girls down only because Noah's obsessed with her.
Yeah.
I love that.
But lately I've been trying to win Noah over. I always tell her, like, who's your best friend? She's like, daddy.
Oh, bro.
It took a little bit of brainwashing, but saints, I'm now her best friend.
You guys are saints. We're in the middle.
It's hard.
We're trying to win. So
yeah, I'm trying to get the boys to sleep in their own room. And like River 7.
Yeah.
You think Ollie's rough in your bed? A 7-year-old,
dude. All kids, crazy. Yeah.
Dude, I got
they're crazy animals.
Kicked
dude.
So hard in the face, I'm sleeping. Whack, just a foot, boom on my. I'm like, oh god, what's happening? And Steph's like, what's going on? I'm like, I got kicked. Someone kicked me.
It's
there's just, an intruder.
But Steph was telling me. I don't remember if Steph was telling me. I can't remember who it was. But like I remember we posted this thing about co-sleeping or something like that. And in the comments, there's someone who's like, I live in India. And she's like, we all co-sleep like until even like teenage years.
That sucks.
Like, it's just like normal. But like, it was just like, what do you mean you don't co-sleep? Like, why would you not want to sleep with your kids? Like,
like, and it's not that you don't want to. It's more like what's healthy for your marriage / for your
kids. You know, my 18-year-old still sleeps in my bed. Like saying that.
That's what they're saying.
Bro, but they
live in a
They're in different countries.
One bedroom.
It's there's a lot
house, big house. Open air concept.
It's an open concept.
I saw this clip that was like we co-sleep. And then it was like, but we got to get creative for other things. And it was like just a clip of all the places in their house.
No.
And I was like, dear God, a piano bench?
Gotta do what you gotta do.
But I'm like, I get
Can we just go back to Roman thing? Oh, no, God.
Stop. Oh, no, we can't.
Oh, my gosh, bro. I used to sleep in a basement with my siblings, and I thought it was just the coolest thing ever, dude. I don't know, man. This idea of open concept is crazy.
You're crying. Are you okay?
Oh, man. Yes, I'm good. That was really good.
Well, it's like, how big is your bed? If you know, you got, I don't know, I'm assuming how many kids they have. Let's say more than two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or two.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
You got 18. How big is your bed?
Yeah.
It's more of a nest.
You got to be sleeping on like a big mat.
Maybe they got a customized floor bed. You know, you don't know.
I'm kind of into these floor bed things.
Yeah. It looks really cool. I kind of want one.
I kind of want one.
Yeah.
Shoot. Do you guys have a king? What size bed do you have?
King.
The big one, whatever that is, the king. Mm-hmm. Is that the king? I always, it should be the king in my head.
We had a Cali king one time.
I think that's the one that we have. That's the biggest one.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, that's what we got.
The shack bed. I did some research. The Cali king is wider.
Yes.
The king is longer.
Mine looks like almost like a square. So it's like as pretty.
Yeah, I think you have.
Cali king.
Yeah,
you have the Cali king. We did too.
Yeah, it's nice.
But I want to get a different bed. We moved into this place like 3 months ago, and we just kind of like got like a random. It just doesn't work. Whatever bed we got last time, I thought was the one. You know, it was a little bit higher off the ground. There was a double layer. This one's like, this bed is like on like bars kind of thing. I don't know. It's bizarre.
Like you have no box spring.
Yeah, no box spring.
Yeah.
Casper, like, where are you at, Casper? We need a sponsor. Who else?
Something.
There's like the purple one. I feel like you look up a pillow mattress, you're forever stuck.
We got a boxed one. We got Nectar.
Nectar. Yeah. You're forever stuck with an algorithm of mattresses and pillows.
Dude, it's real. If I search on Amazon pillowcases, the next thing I know my Instagram feed is
pillowcases.
You know what I want to try is the pillow cube.
Yeah.
Dude.
I don't know why I want to try it so bad.
Have you seen this ad for the pillow cube?
No.
Yeah, it's a brilliant ad.
I'm a side sleeper.
Yeah,
side
same.
Yeah, I am.
Side sleeper?
Yep.
Whoever sleeps on their back is a serial killer.
Agreed.
I'm just kidding.
Well, dude, for all the people who are sleeping on their back, I feel like they like cough and choke out at some time because they're swallowing their spit. Like,
yeah.
Leah always wakes me up because it's like, I'm coughing sometimes because I'm like, I snore and I'm like, hey! And Leah's like, babe, wake up! And when she does that to me, I'm like, dude, I'm hella pissed.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why are you screaming at me? I'm just sleeping. What's the deal?
I just got my deep sleep.
Yeah. But speaking on sleep on your side, talk to me about it.
So if you're listening to the podcast, just picture this, okay? If you were just to lay down on your side,
yep.
The space between your bed and your head, it's not round.
It's like a 90 degree.
Cube. Yeah.
It's 90 degrees. And so they made this cube pillow that fits perfectly in that space. So your head's not leaning over, you know, you're not
and it's like small enough to where I feel like you can like, even if you're a side sleeper and kind of have your hand under the pillow, you can go like around the pillow and like almost hug the cube and like lay down.
Should we all try it and then, you know, give a review back on the next podcast?
Yeah, we should do a YouTube where we just record us sleeping for maybe 8 hours or something like that. And we'll just post the whole thing live.
Yeah. And see how it works.
Dude, I saw like this, I forget what the post was about, but I'm like, so I snore. Do you guys snore?
Occasionally.
I'm a proud snorer. Yeah.
No, like I'm snoring, I'm tired. Yes.
Yeah.
Like I discovered recently that if I try to sleep sitting up, I can't breathe. And
what?
If I fall asleep in a chair.
You fall asleep in a chair. Jeez.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Oh, God.
Are you okay, sir?
You're tired.
You're tired, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, I only fall asleep when I'm driving, but other than that.
I believe that, actually. I will never fall asleep driving.
No, it's been a long time since I fell asleep at the wheel. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I used to.
When I was a teenager.
That's so crazy.
When I was a teenager.
Yes.
And now I got to pull over.
Yeah. I don't even try. I don't even risk it. If I'm even tired on the road, I'm like, I'm out. I'm good.
Someone's that's driving. So crazy.
Yeah.
Dude, I could never fall asleep driving on the road. No matter how I mean, one time me and Erica did a road trip from Portland when we were dating. So we went to Portland all day and then drove back home at night.
Yeah.
And it was like towards the end, but that was my fault. I turned on an audiobook. I'm like listening to a freaking meditations or something, like driving. I was like kind of, I was getting sleepy where I had to open the window, yeah. But like I've never fallen asleep.
Oh, dude. I'll start to get scary. Tired. And I'll be like, Steph, I need you to have a conversation with me. This is life or death.
Yeah.
Like, we could pull over at this Taco Bell. I'll fall asleep for 20 minutes. It won't be good. Or you can talk to me. It's up to you. Either way, we're in danger mode.
Does she ever switch? Like, do you guys ever switch? And she
yeah,
drives?
Sometimes we'll switch. Yeah, yeah. And then she falls asleep. She'll be like, I'm wide awake. I got it. And like 30 minutes later, she's like, I'm starting to get tired. And I'm like, dude, I need rest. I just drove for 9 hours.
We're in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
Let's just turn on cruise control and
the last three years we've driven from Los Angeles to Seattle.
Yeah.
Ooh, and that's it, you know, but with kids, so like when we did it solo, 17 hours. With the kids, it's like 22 hours.
Yeah.
An extra five.
It's, yeah, an extra stop, five stop, hours.
Get food, pee, all that. Exactly.
Basket. All of it. Just like stretch.
Yeah.
And each time I've been like on the way back 1 year, we went through the mountain range and on the forecast, it was like clear, da, 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 a freak blizzard hit. And
no.
I was by myself on the way home. They flew home.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 4 a.m. Couldn't see. I've never been more afraid in my entire life than that moment.
Yeah.
Knuckles are just, you know.
Shaking.
And I feel like it was the perfect metaphor for parenting. Like, I'm going forward.
At I don't know moment, how we're going to get home.
Drive off a cliff.
Yeah.
Every second, I'm thinking I'm gonna lose it,
and somehow
we're gonna be fine. Yeah. We just gotta make it to bedtime. The countdown is on. 4 hours till bedtime.
That's real.
War right there.
We're about 45 minutes in, so we'll kind of wrap up here in a second. But it does feel like I think my mom was an incredible parent. I love my childhood. I love everything about my childhood. My mom took care of us. She, you know. She showed us what joy looks like and how to kind of like make it through difficult seasons and stuff.
Yeah.
At the same time, my mom would be like, go and play in the woods for 8 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and like, and I'm concerned like, oh, my kids don't get enough vitamins. You know, like realistically, our kids are going to be fine. They're going to make it through.
Resilient.
Yeah. They're resilient. They're human beings. They're so resilient. They're going to have, they have so much resolve. I just got to kind of be, you know, I had to remember that and not just coddle them. It actually hurts them by
100%.
Yeah.
You know, by not letting them get into trouble a little bit.
And, right, yeah. Right, right. You
know, bump their knees and all that fun stuff. But
Roman, if you had to give any advice to all of our listeners, what would you say?
Parenting advice.
Yeah.
Or something that's working for you and your fam.
I think... right now I'm working on two things with two kids specifically. Noah, not smacking her sister out of nowhere. She's got that. That was that's like the real, thing. Man. I'm like, do not hit your sister. She out of nowhere. She's not even mad. She'll just walk by and wham. And I'm like, what's going on? So just learning about number one, I think always trying to teach your kids, how to be empathetic to other people, yeah, and also sympathetic to what's going on. So just like character stuff, like kindness and, you know, love and stuff like that. And then for Mila, our oldest, I think one thing I'm trying to teach is like your family and your sisters are your best friends. Cause I think sometimes they could treat other people better than they do their own siblings. So I'm like, yeah, your kid, like she'll come home, she'll meet some kid at the playground and suddenly that's her best friend. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you this, but you're literally never going to see that girl again.
Yeah.
So just telling her like, hey, your sister is your best friend. Like one of the best things she ever said to me one time was we got home or I was telling her like, I love you so much. Like, I love spending time with you. I got to spend just alone time with just her. Took her to the store. She came home. She's like, I love spending time with you. And then she's like, I love spending time with mom and Noah and Leo. I love spending time with my family. And I'm like, that's what I want to like teach them.
That's special.
But I think for her specifically, I've been trying to, as she gets older, I'm like, I feel like in no time they're going to be adults. So I'm trying to like talk to her. I'm not like what you were saying, like if you shield your kids too much or whatever, it might be worse for them than better. So I'm trying to talk to her about like life and not like over the top.
In terms she can understand.
Yeah. So just like like for a while, Erica's Erica has an older sister I never got to meet, but she passed away from cancer. Mm. So Erica's mom has taken Mila to see, you know, like during holidays, they do like a little Christmas tree near the grave and stuff. And I was always afraid to like talk about death, for instance. And I'm not going to like like go into detail of like there's this thing called cancer or like this happens or blah, blah. But I'm like, you know, the other day she was talking about something like that. And I was like, you know what? I never got to meet Auntie Angela either. Like one day we're going to meet her in heaven because that's what we believe. Yeah. Like, so just like I feel like talking to her as a child, but also not shying away from subjects that
from real life matters
could be intimidating to us. But we don't have to tell them all the details.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, we don't have to have every answer for their every single one of their questions.
That's good.
But I think just not shying away from, I want to be that person that like she hears, you know, about death or the about anything the first from. Like I tell her about marriage. I'm not going to overcomplicate it, but I'm like, you know, mom is my best friend. Like daddy does not kiss any other person, but mom, like she is my best friend. Like I am committed to just mom. You know, like I don't have to overcomplicate marriage and anything else that comes with the drama of marriage or, you know, divorce or whatever. But like, I tell her like, I'm only with mom. Like, so like letting them know, like maybe adult subjects, really but in a kid way to where like, they'll know, like, cause one day that be like, huh, dad said he's only married to mom. And then one of my friends, he has two moms or like, you know, two sets of families or whatever. Yeah. Like she'll come to me and ask me questions. So I've been trying to like really have deep conversation with her, but like in a kid friendly way.
Yeah, that's great.
And then like I was actually thinking about this because like it's very practical, and I was realizing that I'm like, oh wow, we like do this every single day, and every single day around 5 o'clock after dinner, sometimes before, we go and do a loop around our neighborhood, like every single day. And I think just like very practical to reset, and then have like family traditions, whatever that is. One of them right now is after that walk, after they take a bath, we go in our room and we turn on Jump Around on the Google speaker.
Oh, that's dope.
And they're just jumping up and down, getting all their energy out. Like, so I think just creating like memories and traditions like that happen, like there's things that could be happening around you and just like, you don't have to like force a tradition. Like, oh, I've always wanted to be the person that does X, Y, Z around Christmas. Like if you do it once, you do it twice, you like recognize little things that you can make your families and stuff like that. That's one thing, because we see the same neighbors that do the same kind of walk that we do. I'm like, wow, we do this every day. Like, every day. Our neighbors see all of us walking by. Mm. Noah's running. Hey, Mila's riding. Yeah, like, we have so many neighbors we, like, talk to and all that stuff. So, yeah, just creating little traditions, I think, is good to keep the rhythm of, like, chaos of life. Like, one thing we know we do is just, like... Mm. And, again, you can easily... lose those traditions. We're like, oh, we haven't taken a walk in a long time. Like, but I think if you recognize them and just take them, like randomly that jump around thing became a thing that our family literally does every day. We need a little reset, some fun. Like, all right, jump around, play jump around. And now the girl's just like obsessed with it. And they're jumping around, doing funny dance moves. And like,
I love it. Yeah. When our boys were younger, it maybe isn't appropriate anymore, but when they were younger, after bath time, it's Nakey Bun Run. They get to run laps around the house naked. You know, it's like, little traditions. I think the biggest takeaway I'm taking away from what you're saying is I really want to be intentional going into 2024, even into this Christmas season.
Yeah.
Just creating, there's so many, you know, research tells us there's so many benefits to traditions and consistency and structure. And the only things I remember, besides a few exceptions, growing up are things that were traditions. You know, we do this every year or type stuff. You know, or we do this every day type stuff. But
and you don't have to force it too. That's the thing. It's like, oh man, I always want to do.
You
we do
take
the
a walk around.
We do highs and lows every dinner. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's like something that a lot of people do. Like, don't force it, but like try to recognize it and like, because in the times where things maybe aren't consistent or like holidays or whatever, like you can go back to those like. You know, these are the two things that we do to like keep the rhythm of our family like moving and the traditions.
It's really amazing.
All right, Tommy, anything from you?
Man, I'm just pumped to
you know, going into this season, man, just full of intentional time, like with family. I think it's such a great time to kind of reanalyze all the stuff that we do and see what makes sense. You know, the great thing about traditions is that you get to make them.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, you don't have to worry about what, you know, another family's doing. Just recognize what your family is into right now. You know, if it's like right now, even with what you guys are saying, the whole walk around the neighborhood, like our family already does that. So now it just becomes a part of what we do. And so, you know, and that just creates consistency and good order and schedule for the boys. So now they, you know, as soon as they know that the bath time's coming, they know dinner time's coming. Yep. So I think it's that helps. Effect. And so if you're listening to this right now and you're trying to figure out, you know, what to do, kind of just maybe take a, you know, just analyze your schedule, see what you're doing and see where you can plug in these times and just make it intentional. I think that you'll end your year strong. I really do.
That's right. Yeah. If you're working, if you're struggling with a bond with your family or trying to get out of the rut or routine of life, a great way to do that is to figure out something that your family enjoys, like a walk. A walk just seems like a great reset. You get outside. If you're in a colder climate area, if you're in Chicago and it's sub-zero, then, you know, get your clothes. I'm just kidding.
Do it anyway.
Yeah, do it anyway.
You guys have Canada Goose jackets.
Exactly.
Put you know, go on YouTube and find some cities, you know, some landscape and march in place, you know, whatever it is. But I just think, yeah, being intentional with that is a great way to build a bond. And, Roman, we're so thankful that you could join us today. Every 53 podcasts.
Every 53, so, baby.
106, baby.
There's going to be a 10X growth. Podcast 54.
Oh, yeah. Man, if we had 10x growth by episode 106.
Episode 54, insane. After this episode. This is how it happens. I'm just kidding.
By episode 54, we 10x? I'm in.
Then I'm a part of Dads Who Try.
I think we 100x'd after yours.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
From zero to...
I'm saying.
It's amazing.
I'm the key to unlock this whole thing, man. I'm just kidding. No, you guys are crushing it. It's fun to see. Like, especially being, like, there... When you guys are, this was just an idea. Like, all right, we're going to see what...
Dude, your wife helped us come up with the name.
The name, I heard you guys talk about that, yeah. Yeah, and just, like, it's cool to see, like, that's amazing. Like, you didn't force it, but it's, like, it's cool to see that on social media, you guys, viralness.
Virality. It's so weird.
But it's really cool. I'm excited.
Well, thank you so much for everyone who tunes in, listening, subscribing, liking our channel. This is episode 53 with Roman Boshko. This is the Dads Who Try, and we are over and out.
Hey, that's just Dads Who Try, dog. That's just Dads Who Try. Just team no sleep, baby. Dads Who Try.